The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Hey everybody, what's going on? We are back here, a Survivor Know-It-Alls on a most unusual Survivor Wednesday night. Stephen Fishback.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, struggling to process everything. It's an intense, powerful episode with, you know, it seemed in many ways to be bigger than the show itself almost, you know?
Yeah. It was a night that I don't think that we should dance around this at all. You know, certainly one of the trickiest nights that we've ever tried to do this show, but an important night all around. And looking forward to talking some of this through with you tonight, Stephen Fishback. First, our heart goes out to our both your friend and mine, Zeke Smith, who's always been such a supporter of everything that I've done over the years. I think he likes you too, Stephen.
He told me that he doesn't like you, but you know, I bring a lot to the table. Great, incredible guy. You know, I think Jeff Probst said it. You know, this thing that happened. Like, suddenly he's this guy who's always involved, always engaged, always connected to what's happening around him. You know, to have those close ups of his face. Just looking stunned was, you know, one of the most shocking parts of the whole episode for me. And then I thought he recovered himself incredibly and spoke so eloquently and was so generous and so gracious that I was, you know, amazed, you know, that he could do that. I would not have had that wherewithal.
I can't get over the poise and the grace to which he handled all of this, to have just this terrible thing happened to him, to be gracious enough to hug Jeff Varner.
Yeah, he was comforting Varner
on the way out the door. Yeah. I don't know how I would have been nearly as composed in that situation. I have a hard time gathering myself to do a podcast talking about what happened, Stephen. So really an amazing job by Zeke.
Amazing job.
We will discuss that. Just to set the stage here tonight, as far as I know, I believe Jeff Varner will have a do press tomorrow. I have not been told otherwise, so he will have another opportunity to share what the hell he was thinking in this moment of very, very poor judgment. So that should be coming tomorrow. If that changes in any way, I'll let you guys know via social media. Hannah Shapiro is going to be coming into the studio tomorrow to talk with me about her thoughts on everything that went on. Obviously, a close friend of Zeke. So we will discuss all that and more. Maybe we'll even you know, take some time to talk about her season. We never got to do an interview with her after Millennials versus Gen X. And then we will do a feedback show later on this week. Antonio Mazzaro will join me for that later on this week, Stephen. But the reaction tonight has really been very much sympathy for Zeke.
Yeah, a lot of outpouring of love and support for Zeke, which has been really great to see and great to hear. It's so incredible. Like, what was Varner thinking? Like, that's what I can't get beyond. It's like, how does this play out? How is Varner even imagining this plays out? Like, what is his hypothetical ideal scenario for this to play out? Like, what? I just don't get that at all. Like, it's so destructive. You know, I just published my blog about this, but it's so destructive strategically and personally to to him.
It's so out of place and it's so out of bounds. And the more I think about it, the more angry I get about what Jeff did, because to me, I've always liked Jeff Varner. I've always enjoyed watching him on the show. You got to be in the season with him in Survivor Second Chance. He's so smart. And what we like about him, he's always been mischievous and sneaky, and it's been fun to watch on the show.
Right.
But the frustrating thing about all of this, this isn't some idiot that you can chalk up to somebody, and we've had contestants like this in the past who come on the show and are just so ignorant
right.
that they're not even realizing they're doing something wrong. Jeff has to have known what the implications were of doing something like that. And he still went through with doing this at a tribal council and tried to drive home this point that here's Zeke. He's someone who's trans, and that it means that he has the capability of deceiving you. He's not who you think he is. So this is an opportunity. Work with me. I mean, what did he think the reaction was going to be? Like, oh my God, Jeff, you're right. Oh my God.
Well, and the other half of this is that, like, he wasn't even targeting Zeke. Like, this was his plea
he
to get out.
Ozzy,
like,
to go.
Ozzy, yes. And, like, obviously there's so much wrong with this, but it doesn't even make a base level of sense, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing that like, it's, you know, it's obviously horrible for a lot of reasons, but, like, there's no even, like, base level of, like, well, I can sort of see, like, what terrible misguided thing he was trying to do. Like, I can't even see the terrible misguided thing.
Yeah. And let me just also say this up front, and I meant to say this to open the show, that, look, Jeff Varner did something so stupid and unbelievable tonight. Leave him alone on social media, that he does not need to get harassed and get right. bullied
yes.
over this, because here's why. He doesn't get to be the victim. There's one victim tonight, and that's Zeke. And if people come after him, then he's that takes away from what Zeke had to go through. Because if he becomes the victim, please leave Jeff Varner alone on social media. Don't harass him. Just, you know, I think at this point he knows the mistake that he made.
Yes.
Nobody out here needs to be the person who's doling out a sentence to him. We can talk about how stupid what he tried to do was, but that's it.
Yeah, and if you got to tweet something, just tweet support to Zeke. You know, like, you know, is take that, like, negative Varner tweet and, like, make it a supporting Zeke tweet.
Yeah, because that this can become an echo chamber, and it's like nobody needs to. Believe me, I think he understands how bad what he tried to do was. But just in the moment, I don't even know what would possess him to think that this was a plan that would work, especially when, as you said, the target was Ozzy.
Yeah. The other thing is, and I write about this a little in my blog, is that choosing to do this at tribal council is particularly confusing, I think is the word, because tribal council is probably the point where you're least likely going to actually impact the vote, but it's most likely going to make air. You know, where this is something, the tribal council is like the most stagey part of Survivor. You know, you get dressed up before you go out there. Like, everyone sits in a row. You're all, like, presenting yourself. You're presenting your different strategies. And to choose to do this then, I mean, there's not a better time to do this. There's just, you know, he obviously should have never done this, but he happened to choose the worst time to do this.
Right.
Why do it at the point in the episode where it was almost, you know, it was basically guaranteed to make air.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying 100%. That, you know, this comes from a place of desperation. And, you know, I thought Ozzy really was so poignant when he said, you know, shame on you And I'm paraphrasing, like, what you're willing to do for a game for $1 million, you should be ashamed of yourself.
Right.
And, you know, it's not even like that he had a one-on-one conversation, no cameras around. Hey, Sarah, you right. know, that here's right. something, here's something you should know. I don't, you know, but to do it in the way that he did it, it was just, you know, so exploitive. And to me, so selfish in order to last, what, 3 more days right. in the game to take someone's privacy in their real life. And for me, I just struggle with this so much because it was something that was so outside of the bounds of the game. We've seen people do horrible things to each other in the game of Survivor, but those things have to do with, you know, oh, I promise you, you'll be safe. I promise you this, I promise you that. Or, you know, people who hate each other say terrible things to each other. But Zeke was nothing but kind to Jeff yeah. in the game. And then he turned around and did that to him. It's just so hard to swallow.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if even Jeff knows why he did it. You know, when he was being pressed to come up with a reason, he couldn't. You know, he said, well, I'm throwing things against the wall, or, you know, I'm trying to show you how duplicitous he is. But like, I don't think those are actually reasons. Those are like almost excuses or explanations. You know, I just don't think, like, the thing I just don't understand, like, how even in Jeff's like best case scenario is like the tribe stand up and say, yeah, you're right. Like, what? I mean, what is his ideal scenario for this?
I think that he thinks that Debbie's going to say, Zeke, is this true? Why didn't you tell us? Oh my God. Like, I just think he feels like it's going to snowball. And if he right. can create some chaos, I mean, the logic is so convoluted to yeah. even think that that's the case. And for me, I struggle with then the things that he says after that at Tribal Council, where he tries to walk it back, because yeah. I think that he reveals himself at the point where he tries to out Zeke at the Tribal Council, that he reveals himself to be a person, I will say anything I can to advance myself. And so at the point where everybody is like, wait, what are you talking about? He's like, no, I prove that it was deceit. And then like, it's like, no, this is not happening. He's like, oh my God, I'm your biggest cheerleader. I mean, I would never do anything like that. And to me, he's just already showed that he will say anything. I have to question his sincerity on the stuff that comes after that.
Well, I do think that there came a point. I mean, and again, you know, how can we judge? We've just watched this on television, but it did seem like there came a point when he realized the enormity of what he had done and said, you know, maybe because of some of the stuff that Probst said, putting it in context, and, you know, was just like, what have I done on national television? I've done
yes. Oh, I
thing.
Think that hits him like a ton of bricks. Why that didn't hit him like a ton of bricks? Like hypothetically, had his scenario worked where he outs Zeke and then the tribe then votes Zeke out?
Right.
I feel like in some ways this is worse. Where we go on with the Survivor season that Jeff got a person voted out of the game for outing him as being trans.
Wait, which is worse?
I'm saying I think that scenario, that his best case
scenario.
Oh,
yeah, that's terrible.
I think
is
worse than this.
Right, then sort of, yeah, then doing this terrible thing and then kind of being shamed and sent on his way.
Where he's able to sort of make the case of, hey, this person is trans. He hasn't told you what he's gone through. And so that he has shown his ability to deceive you, that is why we have to vote him out. I mean, I think that is the main thing that so many people that are trans are battling against. The idea that they are up to something, or they right. are being deceptive, they have the ability to deceive you, they're trying to trick you. And I think that is the most dangerous idea in all of this. That's the thing that goes beyond the game.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's so much here that goes beyond the game for sure.
And it's also something that I think is also worth noting that suicide is a very big risk for people that are living in fear of, you know, are they going to be accepted, you know, in the trans community. And so for Jeff to, in such an explosive way, put Zeke on the spot. I just don't. And again, he says I have transgender friends, and I don't doubt that he does, and I don't doubt that he cares about the rights of transgender people. But then, but why? Why do all this for a? It's not like Stephen. If this was day 38, and this was a shot at the final three, and it's like a guaranteed he's gonna win the $1 million, you can almost say, all right, well, you know, that's a $900,000 swing. You know, greed can make people do terrible things. I mean, this was the opportunity to get voted out on day 16 or day 19 versus getting voted out on day 20.
Yeah. And I mean, and Jeff is not new to this either, right? I mean, this is a guy who's been on the show a couple of times and very recently. So he knows the world we live in. You know, he knows that. Anything he says on television is going to get picked up by the internet, mm-hmm. broadcast around the world. You know, he knows that that happens. So he's not just someone who's, you know, saying something blithely and kind of hoping that, you know, it'll go away. I do want to say, though, I was incredibly impressed by just how immediate the tribe's reaction was. You know, they instantly condemned him unequivocally, all of them. And I thought that was, sorry to keep saying this, but I wrote a little bit about this in my blog, just how a lot of times on Survivor, you see people do terrible human things and the other contestants kind of step back and think like, wow, this is an opportunity for me in this game. Like, I don't want anything to do with this. You know, I mean, when Will was berating Shireen, you know, Nayanka, when she was, you know, pushing over Kelly. And here it was pretty incredible how quickly, you know, Debbie and Ty and Andrea just, And then later, certainly Sarah and Ozzy as well just jumped on him.
Yeah, universally, everyone's like, "Stop!
You are out of this, out of bounds. Nothing to do with the game."
We've teased about Debbie, how kooky she is. I mean, she's like, "No, you don't get to do this. This was not your decision to do this." And everybody, to a person, just is like, "This is outside of the realm." I thought that Jeff was also very good at shutting things down. You know, this is a very tense situation for everybody involved. Nobody is ready for this to happen. And I thought that he also, you know, handled the conversation very well from that point.
Well, one thing I thought he did really particularly well was nothing, was that, you know, he let the tribe have its moment before he even stepped in at all, you know. Jeff didn't say anything for a while where, you know, he really could have like stepped in and tried to guide things, but he really let the tribe react by themselves. And I thought that was great. And then he played the role, which he says his role is to be the voice of the audience. And he played that perfectly. You know, he spoke up and said, you know, you're saying this, but that's, you know, that doesn't make logical sense. You know, you're saying, on the one hand, you're saying you thought Zeke was out and proud. On the other, you say he's deceptive, you know, like you can't have it both ways.
Right.
You know, and, you know, at one point, Farner says, oh, I'm sorry. And Jeff says in disbelief, you know, you're sorry. You know, I think Jeff really kind of owned that sort of both the audience response and his own human response.
Right. And I like that he did not let Jeff get off easy when he tried. Like, I did find that there was a lot of hypocrisy from Jeff going from where he started to what he tried to pivot to of, no, I'm your biggest fan, Zeke. I like that they sort of nailed him down. I thought that Sarah Lucina had a particularly noteworthy eye roll at one of the things that Jeff was trying to say to try to pivot off of this. Stephen, I am someone that I talk for a living. I have put my foot in my mouth on many occasions. I just have to go back to that. I felt like there was malice in what he did. This was not like a off-color joke that he made. It wasn't something that was, you know, said sort of in passing. That he said something with the intent to harm. And that's what I have such a hard time to get over in this game that you play, that we talk about all the time, like, hey, you got to do whatever you can. You got to scramble. And I appreciate that. But there has to be a line that we draw in a game of, this is something I am not willing to do to advance myself. And I feel like that this was beyond that.
I mean, I agree with you that it was you know, it's not something, not him putting his foot in his mouth. It's not him like slipping up and stumbling. You know, this was clearly planned. He planned it at tribal council. You know, he's got this whole thing. There's degrees of deception here. You don't even know about. Pause. Look at Zeke. You know, this was a really planned thing. I mean, I don't want to psychoanalyze Jeff and say it was malicious. He meant harm versus he was scrambling. He meant to save himself versus like he didn't even know what he was doing because he was so crazy with, you know, fatigue and hunger and everything. I mean, the fact is like he did something premeditated that was very bad. You know, I don't whether it was malicious or not. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think that it's too far of a call to say that it was malicious. You know, he said that, you know, there's somebody, you know, there is deception in this group. And right. He turned to him and says, you know, why haven't you told people that you're transgender? And then he goes on to say, what I'm showing is a deception. And then, you know, still tried to, like, I'm not saying it was something negative, but, you right. know, then, you know, why haven't you told everybody this? It's just, you know, we could keep going over the point. And I'm sure that Jeff has a lot of regret, and I'm sure that he will be on an apology tour after this, but I just think it speaks to something profound in the game of, you know, we've talked so many times about what are people willing to do to win and pulling out all the stops. But I feel like tonight we have found, like, here is a real fault line of something that yeah. he was willing to do that was beyond the realm of like, short of physically harming someone. This was, you know, like, if somebody went and hit somebody while, you know, going into tribal council, this was an intent to injure.
Oh, I think this is worse than that. I mean, you know, people get hit. People get bruised up all the time. I think, you know, getting right. hit, like, so what? You know, this is no, this
but this is like if
that.
Somebody got cold cocked on the way to tribal council. You know, yeah, I'm saying that yeah. they would remove that person from the game.
Right. Right.
This was an intent to harm.
Right.
Outside of the realm of the game.
Also, can we just say for this a second, like, trying to prove someone is like willing to deceive on the game Survivor, like, that's what they're all there for. They're all there to deceive, you know, like, what do you, you know, what a stupid argument.
Yeah. The whole argument, you know, I don't want to start to talk in circles about this, but the whole thing doesn't make any sense when you think about what he was trying to do. Steven, just to try to pivot a little bit with this, how do you think, because, you know, this is a show that deals primarily with this game that we're talking about and what the ramifications are. How can this group of people move on from this in the game? I mean, we have a week yeah. to digest this before Survivor sure. comes back, but these people that were at this tribal council have to go back, and it looks like the merge is around the corner. How do these people pick up the pieces, and Zeke in particular, and try to go back to playing Survivor the next day?
Well, I think for everybody but Zeke, right, it's just a question of saying, like, that was terrible. I'm so sorry that happened to you. That was awful. You know, if you want to talk as a human, I'm here. But, like, beyond that, let's play this game as hard as we can. Like, let's put this all behind us. I mean, for Zeke, though, I mean, I can't even imagine what he's going through. You know, you're on Survivor. You're so paranoid all the time, A, about the game, and then B, about beyond that, like, what the ramifications are of what airs. You know, and how it's going to affect your life, you know, how the things that you're doing on the show are going to be interpreted by the people watching. And now Zeke has to have an entirely other narrative that's spinning in his head, you know, thinking like what this means for his whole life going back home. And like, this has got to take his head out of the game. Like, honestly, like, how does this not take his head out of the game to have this all of this weighty stuff suddenly on his shoulders?
Yeah, and that's, you know, going to be a major storyline moving forward from this. You know, how does Zeke handle this, and how do people treat Zeke differently from this? Is right. there does he become this sympathetic figure that, you know, that he's like off, is are people not even going to think about him as somebody that we can target with good conscience? Or is he somebody where it becomes that the survivors, I hate to say this, might think about it like,
sure,
oh, well, now
the end.
We can't let, you know, almost in a Kelly Bruno fashion, well, we can't let Zeke get to the end because now he has this story about him of a person who was victimized. Will he become a target now because of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely.
And not,
it's
not in
terrible.
The way Jeff Varner thought, but in a way because he has now become so sympathetic. Now, do we have to get rid of him because he'll win if we leave him here?
Yeah, I mean, I could easily see both. You know, I think probably short term, you know, hopefully the former happens, right? Where people are sort of like, let's give this guy a break. And I think that, you know, I don't think that's unlikely, you know, where I feel like people have very human concerns, you know, and part of the decision of who you target, you know, it's strategic, but it's, you know, you're all people out there, hopefully, you know, feeling for each other and caring for each other. And I wouldn't be surprised if they said like, hey, you know, Zeke, let's give him a break. You know, he's just been through something terrible, like hands off Zeke for a couple weeks. But I also would be really surprised if they let him get to the end for this very reason.
Steven, back in Survivor Cambodia, you went through a especially tense first tribal council after the merge. And, you know, there's been, you know, widespread stories about, you know, some of the regrettable things people were talking about at that point in time. How do you, in the game of Survivor, when these things are sort of like happening that are bigger than the game, how do you sort of get back to being centered and focused on the game?
I mean, from the outsider's perspective, right? Not the participant, where it's totally different. Cause you know, for all kinds of reasons, you know, but I, you know, obviously I didn't do it well, Rob, but you know, the move is to, you know, my feeling is you just give as much human sympathy as you can and say, you know, I'm here. Like I can't believe this is happening. And, you know, I support you and embrace you and everything. And then, you know, back to the game, you know, like let's just put it behind us and let's play this thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, how much is that, you know, once something gets in your head in the game, you know, it just rattles there. And something as big as this, I feel terrible for Zeke.
For
all kinds of reasons.
Zeke is so strong. Zeke is going to be fine. I think that we should, you know, our heart should go out to him, but Zeke is going to be perfect. You know, that if anybody can go through this, it's him. And I have no doubt about how strong he's going to be through all of this.
He certainly showed that at Tribal Council, you know, just speaking so eloquently about choices he made. You know, he had said that thing about how, you know, if you know, someone watching at home, you know, is inspired by me, like then that can be, you know, a positive result of all this. And then ultimately hugging Varner and comforting him on the way out, you know, I think he's like, it's going to be okay. Like he's the one who says that.
Yeah. Yeah. The person who leaves that encounter more distraught ends up being Jeff than Zeke.
I feel bad for Varner. I do. He did something that he knows was terrible.
I'm sure that he is extremely distraught. It doesn't mean he did not do something stupid. But I can certainly understand that he too is suffering at this hour. You know, I think that he is going through probably himself hell, but he has to also live with the fact that this was a self-inflicted wound.
Yes, yes.
You know, so I don't, and I'm sure in a lot of ways that must make it a harder thing to deal with as a person of I'm going through, where Zeke can say, okay, I was blindsided by this terrible thing that I have to go through. You know, Jeff has to say, I brought this on myself by doing this very stupid thing, which I do believe that he knows now. And I'm sure that he will, when he does his interviews, will be speaking about on Thursday.
But this is a bad, stupid thing that he did. That doesn't make him like a bad person, right? It's like someone who made a terrible choice and did a bad thing. But it's, you know, it's one bad thing.
Right. I mean, people come to us for the strategy talk. You know, I'll leave everybody at home to make their own, you know, moral qualifications on everybody. It's not my place to say who's a good person and who's a bad person. We can only judge them by their actions on a game show.
Right. Right.
Now, I want to ask you.
Let's run through and say who the good and bad people are.
That could be fun. Let's do that. We'll do that after. We'll do a Facebook Live for that. Stephen, in terms of but what Jeff was trying to build heading into that tribal council, I thought he was making a lot of progress in terms of that he correctly sniffed out that, okay, Zeke and Ozzy have something going on, even if it's just that Zeke didn't want Ozzy to go out of the game. He wanted to keep him in front of him like a meat shield, which if you go back to Millennials versus Gen X was something that he saw Adam did exceptionally well in that season. And he sort of sniffed that out, and he was making really good inroads, I thought, with both Sarah and Andrea, selling them, hey, Zeke is throwing you guys under the bus. And they're like, what? How could he do that? And I thought that he was making a very good case to them about why we need to vote Ozzy out. Now, after all this happened, Stephen, do you think that those Varner seeds will still take hold? Or by his own actions, I think everything
he says is discredited. Yeah, okay. his whole plea is discredited for sure. I'm suspicious about like how realistic, like, you know, how much they were really considering that. That's more like, well, maybe it could be Ozzy, you know.
I thought that Sarah seemed like she was at least willing to entertain it. And Andrea did seem upset about the idea of, again, maybe she's like putting on a front because we know that, you know, from Survivor Brooklyn, Andrea at least, you know, has a relationship with Zeke. So I don't know. She did seem like she was like, what? I can't believe that he would do this.
Well, because they knew each other beforehand, then I'm sure she would be like doubly upset by that. Right. If she found out that he was double mm-hmm. doing her.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of the decision not to go to a vote?
I mean, I thought that the show handled that all, you know, very well. Do we have an agreement here? Let's not go through the dog and pony show of, okay, everybody stand up. Let's count the votes of who's going to go home. You know, Jeff Varner, I think at that point, was ready to go hat in hand and was fine to walk out of the game. And again, for Jeff, I definitely can understand the frustration of being so close to being on the merge and probably the overwhelming desperation that he must have.
You weren't that close, though. You weren't really even close.
But if I went back again, Stephen.
Yeah.
But still, that there has to be a line in the sand that you say, I am not willing to do this thing to win this game show.
It's just crazy, Rob. I keep on thinking, like, it's like we're talking about it, you know, we're like discussing the details of the episode, and then it's like, he did this. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's unimaginable of you know what, and I'm sure, you know, he will have his own side of the story, but just to say, like, I mean, just to put yourself in that situation of like, if this is a thought that comes up, should I do this? Like, definitely not. No, yeah, this is a bad idea.
No brainer. Not going to out someone on CBS
under
prime
any
time.
Of any circumstances. Yeah. That it's just like then like, okay, even if he pulled it off, what then?
Yeah.
That whatever backlash there will be, there would still be it. It's not like people say, well, it was a good move, though. He got him out. So, you know, it's the backlash is going to be what it's going to be. And I don't know if anybody says that, like, but, you know, it was good strategy, though.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. And again, I would look forward to knowing the answer to that question, because maybe it's not as cut and dry as it looks.
Well, but, and you know, yeah.
So, Stephen, In terms of the other tribe, there is another group. At some point, they will merge. It looks like that will be happening in the next Survivor Day, which, again, is going to be probably needed to sort of change up the energy, because I do think that there will be a shadow over, you know, what goes on over these next few weeks, if not the rest of the season, from this. So, I mean, how does that news filter to the other tribe? I mean, you have a lot of people that are close from the original Nuku group. I mean, does it just like a telephone game? I mean, is that...
Yeah, it probably is just a telephone, because they're not going to sit down at the merge feast and be like, guess what happened?
Yeah.
Or maybe Zeke will, I mean, you know, that could happen, right? Zeke could just tell them. But I would imagine it's more of a telephone game.
Yeah, and it does seem as though everything is going to be pretty crazy running around. It does look as though, Stephen, coming into this merge, again, similar to what you guys went through in Survivor Second Chance, where you guys had a bigger buy-on group of that you had, what, like an alliance of nine, including, yeah. Spencer and Kelly in that group. And there was a minority of four. Here, it looks like it's going to be that same sort of dynamic where nine people are left from original Nuku and only four Mana people are going to be left over.
Well, but, you know, they've all been on so many different tribes that, you know, there could be a lot more interplay than we expect. You know, it might not just be, a, you know, Nuku. Yeah. There might be more... you know, different and fractious alliances.
If it is, though, I think it's a case of where it's almost like a Survivor Samoa type situation where they say, okay, well, let's not worry about them. There's only four. Let's start to pick off some of the people on our own side.
Wait, say that again.
If anything, I could see it being maybe like a Samoa type situation where you had people from Galoo saying, we have so many people, we can pick off a few of our own
before
we start to worry about
them. And that's when the whole thing falls apart. So, you know, it really could. But, you know.
Just ask Timbira.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. What do you mean Galoo? You know, come on. Come on.
Yeah.
One
of the other things that I really was puzzled about tonight was that Jeff was saying, you know, Sarah was like, do you have people on the other side that we could work with? And
there's like no people left.
Yes. I'm like, what does he have? Michaela? Troyzan? Yeah.
That's why I thought she was just like giving him extending him the opportunity to like strategize, you know?
Yeah.
Where it didn't seem like... like she's got people, right? I mean, we've certainly heard that she and Culpepper are in a good thing. Culpepper is obviously got, you know, a stack of people. On the other hand, you know, you're in these multiple swap situations. You have to start thinking, I don't know what that group is doing. I have to just focus on this group here. And you know, you see Culpepper, he's got a whole thing happening with people from every tribe, right? He's got Aubrey now with him sensitive. And he's such a sensitive guy.
You know, just one other thing on that where, you know, Jeff Varner is like planting to them like, okay, we vote out Ozzy and you come with me and I'll set it all up. And even Debbie was like, yeah, he's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Brad, because I felt like that Stephen, that Brad talking about how hard Survivor is, but Monica went through it. I felt like that this was shades of Andrew Savage talking about how hard the game is and how much he misses his wife.
Well, I thought it was funny. He was like, I didn't get it on day 10, but
yeah.
Day 17, that's when you know. That's when you know how hard this game is. Like, what a weird, arbitrary choice of days, you know? Is day 17... I actually felt like the first week is the hardest week. Like, days 10 through 17 are a breeze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess it really comes down to how much pizza you don't get. Stephen, you've talked about this before. The agony of not winning a reward.
It's terrible. Because it's not just that you're suffering. It's that other people are not suffering. That's the worst part.
That other people are not suffering? That they're eating,
it's like,
and you're not?
It's like one thing to suffer if everyone around you is suffering. But if there's people around you who are not suffering, that's terrible.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to me, you know, this counterpoint we had this episode where you have Aubrey and Sierra and Ceri and Culpepper and Troy talking about how hard Survivor is and how much it changes you and how, you know, challenging it is. And that's the normal experience, you know, and again, not to, you know, that, and just think about what Zeke is going through on the other tribe. You know, these guys are like, I'm so affected and conflicted by this show, you know, just from being here. And then to have this other crazy, you know, awful thing happening to Zeke on the other side. I thought it was a really like powerful thematic counterpoint, you know, and certainly with the theme of the show.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was going through something tonight on one side or the other. I thought that from that new alliance that we saw with Brad, I did think it was interesting, and I'll give credit to you because I was saying that I thought that Haley was the natural.
Oh, yeah,
force.
And I called Aubrey. Yes.
Yes, I thought yes. that she was going to be in with Brad Culpepper because of the Sierra Dawn Thomas connection. No. And, you know, maybe I have to walk this back. There could literally be no connection between Haley Ford and Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yeah, and Brad, I really felt like Brad and Haley were explicitly didn't like each other, and I was vindicated. But the Aubrey thing, I'm so proud of myself. And I guess it, like, she was going to be, she likes her like big strong guy. She wants to be like the person next to that person. You know, we had it with Tony, she had it with JT, and now with
Malcolm Culpepper. Too,
and of course yeah. with Joe de Los Campos too. You know, the next to the
yeah.
big strong guy.
So do you think that if Aubrey makes Brad Culpepper her number one, are you worried for Brad Culpepper?
What do you mean?
Well, bad things have happened to all these other guys that Aubrey
oh,
ends
right,
up,
right, right.
Yeah, ends yeah, up yeah. trusting.
It hasn't worked out well yeah, for any of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Stephen, I would like to not do questions tonight. I feel like that we've covered just about everything there is, unless there's anything else that you could think of.
One thing,
from the
yeah.
episode. Yeah,
I think it's worth, you know, talking about Sarah and her response. And I
yes,
thought, you know, that
good.
Was an emotional.
I've seen it both ways, Stephen. I've seen where people feel like, you know,
right,
hey, that was great where Sarah said that there's so many people that were watching this episode that are in Sarah's position.
Right.
I've never met anybody who was transgender before, and Zeke has opened up my eyes. Zeke himself said he wanted people to know him as Zeke, not the trans person that was on Survivor.
Right.
We all collectively got to know him for 1.5 seasons as Zeke before this came out on the show. But other people have said, in terms of Sarah, she made it about herself, and people right. didn't like it that she went through the first person account of it. Stephen, what did you think?
My initial reaction actually was sort of like, come on, like, this is, you know, you've got, this is a powerful thing that's happening. Like, don't talk about, you don't need to make this about you. But then, you know, I from the perspective of the show, I think it is really valuable that she, so I'm actually totally hedging, but I think it's really valuable that she did speak up and, like you're saying, gave voice to a lot of people who have this experience. And it's one thing that Survivor does incredibly well, right? Which is it brings people together from different cultures and worlds who never, never otherwise would have met. And, you know, sometimes you get these terrible explosive confrontations with people of different values just can't get along. And other times you see like real growth and an evolution. And so, like, was it a little self-serving of Sarah to be like, let me tell you about me here, you know? Maybe. But I think the bigger point of this is a real person, you know, who's evolving her entire perspective. And now we'll take that back into her life. It might, you know, help other people see things differently. I think that, you know, more than overvalues any cynical negative interpretation. I don't know. What do you think?
Right. On a night, if we're looking for things to be offended by, Sarah Lacina is not high on my radar. And I would say that for a reality star, we all are, you know, pretty wrapped up in ourselves. And I do not fault her anything for what she said. I thought that what she said was really poignant. And I really liked that I don't know anyone like Zeke where I come from. And he has changed
right.
my view on this. And I think that was really important to have that person there. You have I mean, I don't know what, you know, what, I mean, Debbie, I guess that she would tell you herself, she's seen everything. You know, you have Ozzy and Andrea who are both on the coast, and Ty, I'm sure, knows people that are trans, but for that, she was the one person I think there who did not have this experience yet.
Well, and you know, maybe the negative thing that people are negatively reacting to was the wind up, you know, where she's saying, "That's not me. That's not who I am," you know, and that part seemed a little bit self-serving, not self-serving, but like she was making it about herself.
But I thought she was rejecting Jeff's argument of what he was saying in terms of.
Well, but it seemed like she was inserting her judgment of, you know, whatever. But I guess my bigger point was that what I actually found so moving about what Sarah was saying was that she didn't have the language for it. You know, she was kind of like feeling her way through it. She didn't know exactly what words she wanted to use to express this thought. And, you know, I think like you're saying, you know, all these other people are coming from the coasts. This is part of their worlds. You know, they know the terminology that, you know, to like in terms of like being able to say like, "Hey, it's wrong to out someone," like, you know, versus Sarah, this is so foreign to her. This is completely foreign to her. And for, you know, she, even the very fact that she's kind of stumbling through it, as I am now stumbling through this, I thought was...
Yeah,
was
I mean, on a night like this, I think we can both relate to not having the right words ready to go to talk about something so complicated.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen, I feel like that let's leave it here. We got a lot more to discuss with this. You know, it was... Actually, one other thing. How do you feel like the show handled it? I thought, I also saw on social media some people felt like, no, the show handled this as good as it possibly could, and also why did they have to even air this? How do you feel like the show dealt with this very tricky situation?
I thought they handled it really well. You know, I mean, why did they have to air this? It was at Tribal Council. The entire Tribal Council was about it. You know, it's an incredibly powerful moment. And, you know, they end up not voting because of this. And, you know, of course, how are they going to edit around that? And I guess that was sort of the thing I was saying earlier about Jeff choosing Tribal Council of all places to do this. Anywhere else, you know, maybe they could have structured the episode without including it. But, you know, this big theatrical explosive moment at Tribal, like, how do they avoid that? And I think they handled it really well. I thought Probst was super respectful. I thought he did a great job. And, you know, ultimately, like, part of me was like, couldn't they vote? But I actually think the decision to not vote was the appropriate capstone to a moment that it really did feel to me bigger than the show. You know, it felt like this was not about a strategic game. This was a personal human, you know, thing.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know what you were going to do if this happened. I mean, did you want them to stage something that didn't happen? I mean, did you want to sort of like cut that out and then wonder why everybody was crying? I mean, they had this powerful moment where Zeke did handle it so well,
yeah,
where he ends up giving Jeff a hug at the end of it, saying that, you know, basically, it will be okay, and he will be fine. And I feel like that. The music was right on point there. I do think it ends up being a triumphant moment for Zeke to ultimately go through on television. It was a powerful moment after somebody did something insanely stupid on the show for their own selfish purposes.
You know, my favorite moment was when Varner said, "I'm your biggest cheerleader," and Zeke said, "I don't need a cheerleader because I know that I can do anything." I thought that was so perfect and powerful and wonderful.
Yeah. And I just like that was collectively like shut down where, you know, no, you're not the biggest cheerleader. You just tried to do something that was you can feel bad about what you did, but don't try to spin it where you're actually, you know, my advocate now at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Stephen. So let me just also put some other things out there. Zeke has written up something about his first person account about everything that he has gone through. He is going to, that's going to be published on the Hollywood Reporter, THR.com, later on tonight. You could follow Zeke on Twitter. I'm sure that he will have the link. And then also, we'll put in the show notes as well. If you have any other questions, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who are might have their own questions about being transgender, what that means. We'll post some links to glad.org in the show notes if people want to get more information about that. Thank you so much to everybody who watched us live and your patience with Stephen and I as we try to fumble through all of this.
Yeah. With Stephen and me. With Stephen and me.
All right. That's the part you're going to pick on me for? Okay. So tomorrow, again, assuming everything, you know, holds, that we will have an opportunity to hear from Jeff Varner and let him tell his side of the story of what he was thinking, what he's going through, how he feels now about all of this. So be on the lookout for that.
I really can't wait to hear, like, what in his best case scenario this was going to look like. I mean, like, how he envisioned this. What was the point?
You know,
what?
If I had to guess, I suspect he'll say something like, I don't know what I was thinking. I blacked out. We've been through this with Jeff in the past with different things.
Right.
Going back to, okay, Jeff, what was going on with she's a rat, or he's a rat when he got into it with Tasha. He's like, I don't know what I was thinking. You know, I've heard the I don't know what I was thinking before.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he has to say about all of that. I have no doubt that he feels terrible about that. That is the one thing. And please, I do hope that people do not harass him.
There's no reason to harass him.
Yeah.
Harass Sister Nino.
You know, Zeke would tell you the same thing, yeah. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just leave him alone with all this stuff. It's not anybody's duty to then become the judge and jury on all of this. So then we will talk with Hannah on Thursday, and then voicemails with Antonio Mazzaro coming up. But Stephen, great job from you tonight.
Likewise, Rob. You great job.
All right. If you want to read more on Stephen's take on all this, you could check out his People blog coming up shortly at Stephen Fishback. I'm at Rob Cesternino, and we will talk to you hopefully under better circumstances 1 week from tonight. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye. 5 and 0 8 0.